Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And read again at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and so on. We read that the penman to this book, called Ecclesiastes, was a preacher, and he was wise. And he says, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. And we should listen to wise people. Perhaps some are too apt to think they know better than the previous generation. But is it not true that the old or elderly have more experience than we do? And we may learn something from them. But more than being a wise preacher, the one who wrote Ecclesiastes was inspired of God, and he wrote down the very word of God. And so we should give special attention to the words of Holy Scripture found here in our text this morning. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The book of Ecclesiastes answers the question, as we find in the book of Psalms, many there be that say, who will show us any good? People are yearning after happiness. And this book of God's word explains to us the vanity of life without God, and that happiness is to be found in enjoying God and serving God. We are to remember our Creator, and we are to remember our Creator in our youth. And there are many advantages to seeking God while we are young. And there are many dangers of not seeking the Lord in our youth. And so, with the Lord's help, we want to consider this part of His word and learn what it is to remember our Creator, and to learn what is the danger of not doing so, and learn what is the blessing of remembering our Creator in our youth. But whether young or old, it is the duty of every single one of us to remember our Creator, to seek the Lord with our whole heart. And none of us are exempt, no matter what age or condition, from remembering our Creator. So first of all, we have the duty of remembering our Creator in youth. And no doubt the youth among us today will give very careful attention to what they hear. The duty of remembering our Creator in youth. And secondly, the danger of not remembering our Creator in youth. And thirdly, the blessing of remembering our Creator in our youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator. The word now perhaps does not mean so much now in point of time, but now this is what you need to recognize to be true. You've heard other things, but now remember this. But remember thy Creator. So It's as if someone is saying, come now, listen carefully. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God created us. He formed us from the womb. And it is mysterious how the child in the womb grows. Thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. God created you, God created your children, if you're a parent. And God has made all things, and he has made man in his own image to glorify himself. God is our creator, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made after the image of God. And we owe our being to God. And so we are God's property because he created us. And therefore he has the right to demand our subjection, our compliance with his own law. It is our duty to remember him, to remember our Creator. He created us for his own pleasure, not so that we would be wound up as a little toy and go off our merry way. He created us for himself. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And many are here today who learn that question and answer as soon as they can remember anything, as early as they were taught to do other things. Well, what is remembering our Creator? Some have called it an inward mental act. We cannot remember God without thinking about God. How many of us wake up first thing in the morning, we're thinking about what we have to get done today, or supposing it's another day of the week, and we give very little thought, if any thought, to our Creator. That's a shameful thing. It's a sin to confess. We need to think about God. We need to remember him, recall the fact that we are his creatures, the work of his hands. He made us and not we ourselves, Psalm 100. So we need to remember God by reading his word to learn about him. We need to seek to know him. Job chapter 22 and verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. If you are acquainted with God, if you know God, truly know him, you'll have peace. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Lord Jesus said that those who know God are saved. He said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If we know God as he has revealed himself in Christ, then we have eternal life. To know him is to be saved. So we should seek to know him. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If you remember him scripturally, biblically, truly, then you are saved. So we should seek the Lord. Remember him by seeking him, seeking to know him, seeking to find him. Seek him with a whole heart and mind. To seek him that he would be our portion, as we considered last Sabbath morning. As Jeremiah said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Seek to glorify him, seek to enjoy him as our chiefest joy. And seek the Lord in our youth, seeking the Lord early, and seeking him always. Remembering God is similar to fearing God. Knowing God is knowing that he is holy and sovereign, and he is our lawgiver and ruler. And we read in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." There should never be a moment in your life or in your day in which you do not acknowledge God. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So, remembering God, remembering our Creator, is the opposite, of course, of forgetting him. And perhaps you might object, "I would never forget God. I always read his word, I always say my prayers." But there might be a practical forgetting of God and a real ignoring of God's commandments. You can't remember God without remembering his commandments. So remembering God results in action. We're to remember God's commandments to do them. We read in Psalm 22 and verse 27, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." Remember what Christ has done and turn to him. So remembering our Creator is obeying our Creator. Moses speaking to the people, or the Lord speaking through Moses to the people in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 40, "That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So we remember God and his commandments to do them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Are we remembering our Creator? Are we obeying our Creator? Are we submitting to him as our rightful Lord, the Master that we ought to obey? Satan will try to get us to obey him. The God of this world says, "Follow me, and I will give you all the pleasures you can imagine." But that's the voice of the liar and murderer from the beginning. God is saying, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And when sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And parents should be teaching their children that as soon as they can learn anything. When you are tempted by other boys and girls to go off and do bad things, consent not. Read Proverbs chapter 1. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go along with them. Close your ears to it. Ignore them. And follow God and his ways. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the days of thy youth, when you're young, before you are old, while the evil days come not, what does that mean? What are the evil days? Briefly, for the moment, when you will say you don't have any pleasure in these days, you're not getting any enjoyment out of the things you used to get enjoyment from. Right now, the little children, they have their toys. They look forward to doing various things, going on holiday with their parents and going this place and that place and all the nice things they look forward to enjoying. But when you are old, you're not going to have that kind of pleasure anymore. Not to the same degree, not as much. So remember your Creator when you're young, that is, simply before you're old, when you can't enjoy the things of life as you used to. When your natural power to enjoy lawful pleasures is gone. Someone said, "If thou wilt have God to pity and help thee in evil days, thou must serve him in thy good days. If you want God to be with you when you're old, then you need to serve him when you're young. And many people are thinking about the future, investing in retirement plans, but are they investing in God, their creator, seeking to serve him that he might be with them and have that divine security, God to be with them when they are old? So, whatever our age, all of us are to be remembering our creator. The text says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when you're young. And we have examples of those who were young seeking the Lord. Samuel was converted young, and he turned to God, and God gave him grace to be useful at an early age in the house of God. There was Josiah. He was king at the age of 8, and later on, 12, 14, 16, he began to be useful in repairing the temple and stamping out idolatry out of the land. Jeremiah himself, we spoke to that declaration he had about the Lord being his portion, and he bore the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, to obey his creator when young. And that's what Jeremiah did. He was a child. He felt himself to be a child. He was young. He served God at an early age. So whether in the prime of life, in your 30s or 40s, you're still relatively young, or teenage years, preteens, childhood, even infancy, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. As soon as you can remember anything, remember God. And the Lord Jesus tells us who are parents, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Well, we go on in the second place to consider the danger of not remembering our Creator in youth. The danger of not remembering our Creator in youth. In chapter 11 and verse 9, we have these striking words, which may not be so easily understood at first. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. What is this saying? Is the word of God giving license to young people to do as they please? Not at all. It continues, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Here are deep, solemn, cutting words of irony. Irony is speaking to something in a way that is opposite to what it really means. He's not saying at all to indulge the senses and the appetite and do as you please. But he is saying that if you do this, if you just allow yourself free rein in all that you can enjoy, you will certainly be judged for that. And this is irony. This is even, to use our own language today, to help us understand, sarcasm. Go on. Do as you please. Now, friend, that's probably exactly what some would like to hear. They would consider themselves the happiest people if they could have permission to do exactly what they want to do, to satisfy their senses, to indulge their appetite, to go where they want to go and do what they want to do. They would be the happiest people, they feel, if they could have that permission. And that's a rebuke to you. That is declaring in the face of it just exactly where your heart is today. You really want to do as you please, and there is nothing holding you back from that but perhaps outward restraint, parental restriction, the laws of the land, financial restrictions and circumstances. But if you had your way, your heart would cheer you in the days of youth. You would walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes. Just do as you please. Whatever comes to mind, just do it. Holding nothing back. Well, you know that's the way of the world. And that's what you find in rock music. Of course it is. Giving license, liberty for the flesh. But it is diabolical, satanic. It is opposite to remembering your Creator. So here is a faithful warning from God's Word about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. These things are of the world, they are not of the Father. They have their origin, so to speak, in Satan himself, the murderer of the human race. Now, this does not deny that God does give us all things richly to enjoy. He has created things for the enjoyment of man. As far as it will honor him, every creature of God, all that he has created, is nothing to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving, are you thankful to God for the things that you enjoy, the lawful pleasures of this life, food, clothing, friends, and so on, recreation, travel? Are you honoring God in it? Are you moderate in the use of these things? It's not the one thing needful to you. You enjoy these things so that you might glorify God in these things. So this text is not against the lawful enjoyment of the things of this life. But we are warned about youthful lusts, lust that is a sinful desire for wealth, for honor, for power, for pleasure, that which is in excess or that which is against the law of God, and that which is, you see, the danger is that we are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Today we have advanced. We don't bow before statues of serpents. We don't worship cows, not in Western civilization. But on the other hand, they do. They're worshiping money. They're giving undue place to their holiday, to winning the lottery, whatever it is. They are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And young people and old people are in danger of doing that. What is most important to us? You can automatically, many of you, can automatically give the answer. What is most important to you? Is it a loved one? Is it employment? Is it recreation? Is it God? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and not idolize the things of this life. Do not walk after the sight of your own eyes. Submit to God's word. And that's the danger of young people today, to think that they're wiser than the previous generation. Teenagers almost think they know better than their parents and grandparents. And when they get older, they realize just how foolish they were. So we are to remember our Creator, and there's something else we are to remember, and that is the days of darkness. And that's what we read in verse 8 of chapter 11. But if a man, I'll back up to verse 7, chapter 11, verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. You enjoy getting off work, going out to the park and watching the sunset. Of course you do. It's sweet. It's pleasant. You enjoy that. You enjoy being able to feel the warmth of the sunshine. You have the liberty to do so, to use your young physical body to go out and enjoy God's creation. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Verse 8, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Remember what lies in the future if you are spared in this world. The dark days of old age are coming. It will not be so pleasant. You will not enjoy with your bodily senses the good things of this life, not like you used to when you were young. You see, that's what you should remember. But it's the very opposite of what young people want to remember. They don't want to think about old age. They want to enjoy youth while they have it. They feel fit and ready. Their imagination is lively. They are robust. They're active. They are even ambitious. But just because that's what we want to do doesn't mean that is what is best for us. The Word of God knows what is best for us. And the Word of God tells us to remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. All that cometh is vanity, emptiness. In other words, you're not going to be so fit or even useful in the future as you are today. The potential for being helpful to others as well as yourself is much greater today than it will be in old age in the future. Remember the days of darkness, and even remember the outer darkness. Remember that there is a punishment awaiting those who walk after the sight of their own eyes. They do as they please. Yes, they want to go on their merry way. Don't tell me what to do. Let me live the way I please. Oh, yes, go on like that, and you will pay dearly for it. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. The blackness of darkness forever, the eternal death that you deserve, the penalty of death that will be inflicted without any mitigation, but go on and on in the eternal days of darkness. That is eternal punishment that awaits those who go on impenitent. They're not repenting of sin. And Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Lord knows how to bring all the evil deeds and attitudes and actions back to our memory with a powerful freshness to bring it back to our mind, those thoughts that we and feelings and actions that we did not ever want to remember. They're all brought back to us on the judgment day. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That is the danger. The danger of the judgment day for those who do not remember their Creator. But supposing that someone does remember their Creator and yet does not remember their Creator in youth, what is the danger then? What disadvantage is it to remember your Creator but not remember your Creator when you're young? Well, it will be more difficult in old age to seek the Lord. When old age brings, as someone has put it, often brings prejudice to the mind, you may get into a way of thinking when you're old that will be next to impossible to change, because you are so set in your ways. And there's a great danger of being hardened in your heart. And it may take great blows in providence and great convictions from the law of God and the Spirit of God striving with you to bring you down to your knees. And finally, by the grace of God, you repent of your sin and you turn to Him, looking unto Jesus. The danger of waiting till old age and older years to seek the Lord. And then again, just as we find that in the grave, no work can be done when you are dead in the grave. So therefore, now's the time to give your work, your all, as it were. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So whatever your hand finds to do, whatever work you have to do, do it heartily with your might and your energy. You can't do any work in the grave, but just as you can't do any work in the grave, you can hardly do any work when you're decrepit and old and you're laid aside and you can't get out in the workforce, you can't get out with family, you can't even enjoy the hobbies that you used to. So we're to remember our Creator in our youth, because we will not be very useful to God when we are old. And the older people, perhaps, of course, they can tell us more about this than we ourselves, but we can observe and we can read the Word of God in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years old, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. It is common knowledge that old age brings its weakness and frailty. And in our passage here, we have a lengthy illustration of old age. In those days when you will say, I have no pleasure in them, your natural power to enjoy lawful things has been greatly diminished and taken away. You don't enjoy the things you used to. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. When the senses are not so sharp and there's dimness of the eye, the hearing is not so good. It's like everything is getting darker in your experience, in your physical experience. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and so on, and the rest of this, the next couple of verses at least, uses the illustration of a house that is getting older and decaying and needing repairs and so on. When the keepers of the house shall tremble, and I'll just mention a few of these metaphors, these pictures that describe, that show forth old age. The keepers of the house shall tremble, and that's perhaps the hands and arms. They keep the house like guards protecting the house, and they tremble. The hands are shaking. The arms are weak. Young people today, you feel very strong and energetic. You're going to go get some work done. At least use your mind. Some of you are going to use your hands. Is that going to go on forever? No, the keepers of the house shall tremble. Your hands and arms will get weak. And the strong men shall bow themselves. And that perhaps refers to the other limbs of the body, the legs, the feet and the knees. They're beginning to shake and tremble. And then the grinders or the teeth, they cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. And that's perhaps the eyes looking out. And then they are darkened, the power of vision is gone or getting worse. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, the mouth speaking to others. Communication has become slack and lessened. There's not such a willingness to talk. They'd rather just keep quiet sometimes. When the sound of the grinding is low, there's the teeth again, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, Perhaps that's the cock crowing in the morning. Others will get up a little bit later at dawn, but the older people will get up as soon as the cock crows, or it's getting up just as soon as any sound alarms, and not able to sleep well because anything will wake him or her up. And the daughters of music shall be brought low. What are the daughters of music? We sing with our voice, and we listen to music with our ears. So the daughters of music is the mouth and the ears, the instruments of hearing and speaking or singing. And I think the old man that David, after his return from fleeing from Absalom, David spoke to an old man and said, "You come back with me to Jerusalem." And if I can find it, in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 35, he replied to David and said, "I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king?" So our passage goes on, just describing the elderly. It's not, you're not able to serve God as easily as before. "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high," verse 5, some of the elderly are afraid of heights, "and fears shall be in the way," even when the way is not so rough at all, yet there's the fear of something being in the way to trip over. "And the almond tree shall flourish," the hair is getting gray and white, like the almond tree blossoming. "And the grasshopper shall be a burden," and at least one commentator said that the grasshopper is a picture of an old person, bent over. And so the grasshopper shall be a burden, that is, the old person is a burden to himself, a burden to himself. "And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets," and so on. Now, friend, young person, are you going to wait? Are you going to wait to seek the Lord until you get like this? When you're feeble, when you're distracted, you used to be able to read the Bible so clearly and page after page, but now people are reading the Bible to you because you can hardly see. Friend, do you have a promise that when you're old, you're not going to get dementia, and you don't even have your mind? Are you going to wait to seek the Lord till you get like that? We don't have a promise that we will even have a desire to repent, to believe in Christ when we are old. Why would we wait to seek the Lord then, when we know that our hearts sinfully as well as naturally grow harder as the days and years and decades go by? We are in danger not only of our mouth slipping and speaking foully, but even profanely, and taking God's name in vain, and blaspheming God, and speaking against religion, and to be like a Richard Dawkins and the atheist in the media, because you didn't seek the Lord when you were young, and you walked after the sight of your eyes. You did as you pleased, and the only thing that held you back was outward restraint. That's the danger. The danger of even dying, death itself, overtaking us before we have seriously endeavored to seek God, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And the picture goes on. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." The evil days haven't come yet. Now's the time to seek the Lord. But they are coming. And Solomon, who is the inspired penman who wrote this, the Word of God, He goes on to say, while the sun or the light and so on, these things have not come yet, but they will come in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Going down to verse 6, speaking about death. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Now, these words are probably more quoted by the media than any other part of the Old Testament. They're beautiful poetry. Oh, but do they really know what the words mean? Do we know what they mean? The silver cord, it's that cord that binds the soul and body together, but it's now loosed, and the soul and the body separate. The golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. It seems that this is a picture of a well, drawing water from the well. The golden bowl is the same as the pitcher, but they're both broken. And that's the body now dissolved. That is the body separated from the soul. It's broken. It's not able to sustain or hold life. Just as the bowl is broken, it can't hold the water. The body cannot any longer hold life. And the soul departs. Then shall the dust, that is the body, return to the earth as it was. And the spirit, the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. It's death. Remember now thy Creator before death overtakes you. The silver cord that binds soul and body is now loosed. And your body goes into the grave and your soul goes into eternity. And you didn't remember your Creator. That's the danger. You see, death is certain. The time of death is uncertain. And so now is a time to remember your Creator, because delay may be fatal. Not seeking the Lord now may mean never seeking the Lord and dying without salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Turn from sin. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Come to the Savior while there is time. Don't harden your heart, but come to the Lord in repentance while it is day, while there is mercy offered to you, while you are yet in the land of the living, on the ground of mercy, when God is still offering mercy to you, the mercy of God in Christ. Well, now we come, thirdly, to the blessing of remembering our Creator in youth. Remember thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We read in the book of Lamentations, and we've referred to it recently, that it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's not what young people want to do, but it's good for them. There's a blessing in it. It is good for a man or woman to bear the yoke in his youth. The yoke of instruction, listening to the word of God and obeying his word, and even the yoke of affliction. If things don't go your way, don't try to extricate yourself and free yourself. I'll just go travel and get away from my worries. I'll divorce my spouse and I'll just live a new, different life altogether. That is the way of the world. It says, do as you please, live for yourself. You have yourself only to answer to. That's worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is saying, you're young. Enjoy life. Don't work too hard. Youth is a time to enjoy pleasure. Middle age is for business, and old age is for religion. That's worldly wisdom. It was a worldly man who loved the wages of unrighteousness who said, let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam. He loved sin. He loved a reward for sinning against God. He was doing his best to try to get that reward for cursing Israel, but it didn't work. And so he tempted the Moabitish king to seduce the Israelites, and then God would not be with him anymore. But anyway, Balaam, a man who loved the world, said, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. As long as I can die well, as long as I can die being saved and I don't go to hell, that's what matters to me." So the devil will tempt young people today. Say, put off religion, do as you please, but you have a long life to live. You can seek the Lord later on. But that's a lie. It's a refuge of lies. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, the benefit of it, the goodness of it. And there are many, many benefits and advantages. One of them is you will have fewer regrets. Fewer regrets. How often have people said, "Well, had I known I was going to not have more time for a project, I would have given more energy to it. Or if I knew that someone was going to pick me up at a certain time, I would have been more diligent with the time that I did have," and so on. Redeeming the time, knowing the days of old age are coming, the days of darkness are coming, will spur you to be more diligent. But remembering your Creator now, in youth, means fewer regrets in the future. Think of it. A person on his deathbed. Have you ever heard anyone on their deathbed say, "I wish I had ruined my health more. I wish I had gone to more parties. I wish I had used alcohol and drugs more." You never hear that. It's the very opposite. Redeeming the time, remembering our Creator, eliminates a lot of sin, a lot of regret. And so we're to remember our Creator and seek Him early, and to remember Him in the ways that He has appointed. Remember remember old age, we're again taught to number our years, and even to go to the house of mourning. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of laughter. Chapter 7, verse 2, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." Now that is much better for us than to give ourselves up to partying and riotous living, because it's better for us to remember our Creator now and in the future. Throughout our whole life, we receive lasting impressions. We're trained to cope with hardship when it comes. And how many had they, instead of living to please themselves in this life, how many, if they had gone to a country where there is famine, even the plague, and witnessed the suffering of mankind, you know, on such a large scale, instead of going to the parties, going to the famine, how much good it would have done them. How much it would have perhaps even saved them from a lot of debt and spending all their money on cars and having a good time, but spared them a guilty conscience and started them doing what was more profitable for themselves and for others had they gone to the house of mourning, gone to a rest home. And you see firsthand the frailty of man and the suffering, so that it sobers you and you are, by the grace of God, made to seek the Lord early. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. One of the blessings of remembering now thy Creator in youth, again, is that you're in a fitter condition. More physically fit, You're not hindered with vision impaired, hearing impaired. You can clearly read the Word of God. Conscience is perhaps more tender. The Holy Spirit striving with you. And your heart is more easily impressed to have lasting impressions and feelings that will help you in time to come. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Again, to avoid much, much sin. If you indulge in sin now, it's going to be a lot harder to deal with later. Oh, it's just a little one, you say. Well, the devil is telling you that too. Deal with it now. Seek grace to get rid of it, to kill it now. Mortify, make it die. Kill sin, lest sin kill you. And the devil strengthens that hold that you have upon that sinful thing. Sin is much more easily dealt with at the beginning than in its progress when it reaches a higher stage of intensity and hold upon you. Deal with it now. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth when you're young. And even if you were converted and repented of sin in older age, yet having lived so much of your life in the indulgence of some sins, what do you have but that defilement, or that at least the scars of sin upon your heart, and those sinful pleasures etched in your memory? And now when you're converted in older age, it's like you're doing your utmost, your very best to keep yourself from those sins. All your energy is used up, as it were, in keeping yourself from old companions and old habits. And it's like you have hardly any time to give yourself to usefulness in the cause of Christ. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And again, remembering him now will mean avoiding many consequences of a sinful life. You see, if you seek the Lord later, he will forgive your sin. But you can't go back and change the past. If you lived an immoral life, you've caused disappointment after disappointment to many people. Perhaps there's been a marriage breakup and you have children there and you have children there. You can't change that. If you've written books on philosophy without God, you can't go back and get all those books and burn them again. Not likely. The past cannot change. God will forgive your sins, but he's going to take vengeance upon all those past sinful deeds. And we find that in Scripture. Manasseh, the king of sinners, was converted, saved, forgiven. He got repentance, but his deeds outlasted him and influenced people for evil. But that is written for our learning. Thou answeredst them, O Lord our God. Psalm 99, verse 8. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. The benefit, the goodness, the blessing of remembering thy Creator in youth. Even in lawful things, outward things I mean, we can expect greater blessing. Things to go well with us in our life on the whole if we remember God now. As far as it shall serve for God's glory and our own good. But more than that, we are fitter for greater usefulness. And that just sums up everything we've been saying. Old age has its distractions. You don't see many frail old people going out traveling to communion seasons, passing out tracts, doing translation of the Bible, preaching here and there when they're old and frail and can hardly get out of the house. No, now's the time to be useful. And you'll be more useful when you remember your Creator when you're young. And longer usefulness. Think of it, being converted and seeking the Lord and repenting of sin in your 20s. If you live to 80, 60 long years of usefulness in the cause of Christ. And when you remember your Creator when young, and you enjoy spiritual blessing in your soul now, as well as lawful pleasures in this life. When you get old and you're not able to enjoy those lawful pleasures in life, you will still have the pleasures of God, blessing in your soul. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Because if you can say, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul," you will always be able to have hope and enjoyment in Him. God created you to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That is your purpose. That's why you've been created. That is the end of man. That's the objective he should have. And the book of Ecclesiastes is answering the question, who will show us any good? Where can I get happiness? It's in seeking God. It's in obeying Him. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, before those evil days come, before those dark days come, before those frail days come, remember Him when you're young. Those who seek me early shall find me. Come to Him who is able to save you from sin. Come to the one who is the mediator between God and man, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, no matter what your age is, no matter how old or young, there is hope for you in the gospel. He is calling you to come as you are to Him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, whether you are 10 or 20 or 40 or 80, come to the Savior. There's a welcome for you in Christ. You'll be reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. Pray that He would draw you to Himself. Take away iniquity and receive me graciously and love me freely. And may the Lord add His blessing. Let us pray.